When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
What's up, guys? Welcome to the sesh. Today, I got a special guest. How long have we been friends, dude?
Man, probably since we first went on retreat.
Yeah, how long ago? I was trying to remember that, dude. I do not remember the date, but I remember the whole experience.
It's been 10 years, I think.
10 years? Wow.
Probably.
Jeez, yeah. Time passes by so fast. Yeah. So kind of introduce yourself. Let everybody know what you do, man.
Yeah, Daniel Galvan. Thanks for having me, man. I am a commercial real estate professional. Based here in McAllen, we do a little bit of everything, commercial, residential, development, property management. Born and raised from the Valley, been here my whole life. So I'm a Valley guy, and so
nice.
That's me, man.
Yeah, I wanted to touch base with you because I've been super fascinated with the real estate game, dude. Like a buddy of mine paid for the services to become a real estate, and I jumped in there for the first maybe 4 or 5 modules, and I was like, I don't think this is something that I want to do. Like, I really have to be into something because I have, like, OCD when it comes to certain things. Like, if I'm in it, I'm in it.
Yeah.
But I got in there and I was like, maybe this isn't something that I really want to pursue because at this point, getting into the real estate game is going to be expensive. It's going to be time consuming. And I just don't have the time for it. I'm still running a business. Like, can you kind of touch on?
Yeah, I mean, so you're talking about getting licensed, yeah,
right, yeah.
So getting I mean, it's a process for sure. I mean, there's classes and exams and stuff like that, and it can all be done online.
But you have to really.
I mean, it takes time. You've got to sit there and do it, and next, and you're clicking those modules, like you're saying, right?
Yeah.
That's it. It takes time and it costs money. That's really it. The irony is that really doesn't prepare you to do real estate.
You kind of have to be in it.
Yeah. That's the best. I always say that. That's the best way to learn real estate is to be around it and just do it.
Yeah. No, you're absolutely right. And then I saw that and I was like, you know what? At this point, I can either, because at this point, I was telling you off camera that we lost 27 grand in digital land and NFTs. what do you think about that, first of all?
I don't know anything about it, to be honest, man. I've seen it. You know, I've seen real developers do things like that, you know, selling lots in the metaverse. But yeah. I know nothing about it. I'd be lying to you if I said I did.
But coming from, like, a buddy, like, let's just say, like, what do you think? Because you're an intangible asset.
Yeah, you know, somebody once told me, don't invest money in crypto or things like that you're not willing to lose.
Yeah.
And so that's probably the approach I would take.
Yeah.
You know, well, it's a gamble for me.
For sure. Well, I guess that the 27 grand was my tuition to pay for learning.
I mean, there you go. That's a good way to look at it.
Yeah. Because you think about that, dude. It was a promise of so much, and so many people were making money. And then the crazy thing was there were just so many rug pulls. Like, so many people just took everybody's money and just vanished.
Yeah.
But then Bitcoin on the other end kept doing what it does and worked flawlessly. So I was like, at this point, all right, let me become an investor in Bitcoin versus
real estate. I missed the boat, man. I wish I would have gotten into Bitcoin. I have some really good friends. I know some real estate professionals that are successful crypto investors and successful real estate guys. Yeah. They get the best of both worlds.
Yeah, it's an interesting thing. Like, how do you view, like, the real estate, the commercial real estate, and then the housing, right? The housing markets. And then we got this new asset like Bitcoin in here.
I love nothing more than hearing my buddies or my associates or whatever come in and say, hey, man, I sold a bunch of Bitcoin and I bought a property.
Wow.
Like, that's just cool to me, right?
Yeah.
Like, wow. Yeah, you're right. Wow. And so, I mean, it's like you said, it's just another way to diversify.
Right, yeah.
If you're going to invest, you can invest in crypto, you can invest in real estate. I'm a real estate guy, but I wish I would have invested in crypto when it was appropriate, you know, the right time.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I don't know if there's ever a right time, is
it? Fair enough. I mean, that I always say I don't have the stomach for crypto volatility. Investment. Yeah, man.
Well, let's just chat about the RGB market, dude. There's something that I've been diving into deeply with the Rio Grande Valley, because I know there's already been huge investments in the internet infrastructure in the Rio Grande Valley, and it's quite amazing to see, man, because there is a huge digital divide where a lot of people don't have internet access. They don't have internet. They do not have access to anything.
Sure.
And now this is going to be solving that, and then I see that interest rates are going to start coming down.
Yeah. They already did a little bit.
So more people are going to start coming in. So kind of touch on how the Rio Grande Valley is going to be affected with this coming year.
You know, you hit the nail on the head. There's a lot of development, growth in infrastructure for communications and technology. You know, I never realized how big it is. You know, I'll get a little specific. I don't know if you're familiar. There's a building on the south side of McAllen, the Chase Tower. Mm-hmm. And there's like 40 fiber providers in that building. And so I had no idea, right? Oh. And apparently that building is the hub for fiber into Mexico. I mean, it's a big thing, man. And so that really opened my eyes to the whole tech component of our region. And I know that municipalities are spending money on that type of stuff. But it's huge. Connectivity is a big part of everybody who's doing business, no matter what kind of business they're doing. Right? And so it's good to see that municipalities are investing in it as well.
Yeah, bring that mic a little bit closer too. So interestingly enough, the whole commercial space, I'm super interested in that, because there's obviously the commercial real estate and then the residential?
Yeah, so there's commercial and residential. Yeah.
So there, I've been seeing so much construction lately everywhere. Like, what's going on?
It's
everywhere.
Yeah, man. It's pretty impressive. It's incredible to watch, you know, somebody from the Valley to watch the region grow. There's development of all kinds going on. You see subdivisions.
Yeah.
You've got small strips coming out of the ground. You've got shopping centers that are in, you know, design and permitting. You've got industrial. You've got retail. I mean, it's crazy. We haven't missed a beat. You know,
I heard that the Rio Grande Valley is kind of like its own little hub here, man. Is that true?
We're really well insulated, man. Yeah, it's a pretty unique part of the country for a few different reasons. You know, the rest of the country really feels recession, mm-hmm. and we really hold up pretty well while the rest of the country is in recession. At least I see it that way.
Yeah. Why do you think that is?
Well, because we've got Mexico to the south, right? They're a big part of our economy. And then we've got, you know, winter Texans that come in every year, and we're very strategically located for import-export, and so all that stuff factors.
Yeah, it's a very interesting thing to see, man. Like, I just see so much development here, and I was chatting with somebody yesterday on Facebook, and he was like, for the older demographic, they're kind of like starting to be pushed out.
Yeah.
Do you see that? Can you kind of touch
on that? Not here, but I mean, my in-laws just moved out of Austin because they couldn't take it anymore.
Yeah.
Right. And so metros like that where, yeah, I could see it just because the growth is just insane.
Yeah.
Right. In places like Austin. I mean, I don't need to go into that, but yeah, I don't see it so much here. What I do see more of is property values pushing people. Right, the affordability is becoming a little bit more difficult because those home prices are higher.
So, if we were to get the perfect housing, like the perfect housing price for the Rio Grande Valley, what would that frame be?
I mean, I don't know. I mean, I that's a tough question to answer. I mean, I think,
or maybe I'm asking it wrong.
So, when I started in this business, the median home price in like McAllen was $140,000.
Yeah,
okay. Yeah. Now it's probably, I mean, it's getting close to $200,000, right? Yeah. And so that's big.
Yeah.
That's big.
That's huge, man.
And so that, just for some reference, I don't know that there is a perfect price.
Yeah.
The perfect price for me is less.
Yeah, absolutely.
I want to pay less, right? But
so let's talk about the current state of the Rio Grande Valley commercial.
Yeah, sure.
Specifically. So touch on that, please.
I mean, commercial real estate in the Valley is It's a great place to do commercial real estate, no matter what sector of that industry you're in.
Are these buyers like from here or they're from?
Not anymore. I mean, back in the day, yeah, we were a little bit of a hidden gem, right? When I started in 07, 08. And so it was a hidden gem still, man. We were not on everybody's radar. Yeah. We're on everybody's radar now. And I mean nationally, right? And so, no, you see guys coming in from all over the country to do business here. And so, I say guys, I mean companies, individuals.
If you were to, like, kind of give it a percentage, like, what are the amounts of people that are coming from out of state versus the people that are in the Rio Grande Valley purchasing commercial?
It's, I mean, these days, it's probably 50-50.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. Wow. If not pretty close to it.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's quite impressive.
It is, yeah. And maybe I'm speaking for myself.
Right.
My business is 50-50. Yeah. 50% regional, 50%.
And what do you attribute that to? Is it like because of Elon Musk is over here with SpaceX putting
no
it
doubt,
on the map?
Elon's what he's doing in Brownsville and what SpaceX is doing over there is incredible. That's a big part of the growth down here for sure.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's one reason, right? We've got a big medical sector. It's growing. That's pretty incredible to see as well. But no, I mean, I think the Valley's going to continue to grow for a while.
What is the impact of having these outside investors coming in? Is there any impact? Does it affect the Rio Grande Valley residents?
It drives up prices,
yeah.
Right? Because, you know, you get somebody coming in from Manhattan, right? Or New York or wherever. And I mean, Manhattan is New York, but they come in and they're used to these big land prices and you know, it's relatively affordable here.
Yeah. They see this and they're like, damn, scoop it up. Is that how that works?
I mean, it's affordable, right? So they're paying $50 a foot for land in, you know, New York or New Jersey. And over here, they're paying 20. I mean, it's just cheap.
Yeah, it's
to
cheap.
Them.
Interesting.
Relatively speaking, right, yeah. To them.
Can we talk about the Harlingen Mall?
So
when me and Rob went out there, we were looking at it and it's like, this would be a perfect opportunity for a production company.
Yeah. I think we talked about it. Yeah. We did.
And
I love the idea.
It's a great idea because the infrastructure is there. I think a million square.
So the mall as a whole is north of a million square feet.
So when something like that happens and people start evacuating from these places, like what happens?
You know, I don't know. I mean, that's a property management question, yeah. Right? And so we were leasing brokers there for a little while, and it was a successful project. We took it from, you know, 65% occupancy, we got it up to like 80%, 85% occupancy,
yeah.
The mall, right?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
So we did our part.
Yeah, yeah.
I can't speak to the property management. It's unfortunate what happened. Hopefully it gets resolved, but I mean, it's a really nice piece of real estate. The city of Harlingen is willing to, you know, to step up and help and you know, get it going. And I mean, it's going to turn out to be really nice.
Yeah, it's an interesting thing because we were chatting with one of the representatives from the city and she was like, well, the worst thing that I would hate it to become is another call center. And I was like, well, I mean, it could
look,
be a
malls,
production studio.
Malls across the country. This is not a Harlingen, Texas thing. It's not a Valley thing. It's a national thing. Yeah. Shopping malls across the country are being redone. I mean, and they're being converted, they're being redeveloped, just because of the changing shopping habits of people like you and me, right?
Yeah.
Now it's Amazon and eBay and I mean, even Facebook, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, that's just malls in general. I mean, and one of the realities is you see call centers are a part of that, but you also see hospitals and, you know, really nice storage facilities and, I mean, condos even. You can do it. There's a lot you can do with an old,
that much space.
That's right. And and just the way they're developed. But, I mean, how do you argue that the real estate that thing sits on is
it's pretty prime. Yeah, it's 100% prime real estate.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So when these big big storage facilities come in, does that signal something? Because I would assume like right here up the street, there's a huge storage facility coming in. I assume that just means there's a ton of growth about to happen.
For sure. It follows the residential growth. Yeah, I mean, it's
so kind of touch on that because I think that's pretty interesting. I saw it and I was like, okay, we're growing.
So all you got to do is drive around and you see the storage units being developed. And so these guys are not stupid. Yeah. They do their homework. They do their due diligence. And so they see the demand. The demand is definitely there. I mean, it goes alongside all the apartments being developed, yeah, right? Yeah. And so it's a good sign, I think. It's a good sign, and it's different. You know, we're in the Valley. We're used to the metal building storage facilities, right. The single story stuff with the roll up doors. I mean, just it's a different product type, right? Yeah. I'll call it what it is in the industry: Class A storage. There's one up here by Sam's that looks really nice,
yeah.
Right? And so they're modern looking and they're aesthetically pleasing, right? And so it's good to see. I like it.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting to see, man, because I see the Valley just growing, like not only growing in population, right, but also growing like in the infrastructure. Like you can see it. Like,
and we need like the TxDOT stuff, the interchanges.
Like something's going on. And we're getting prepared for something. And that's an influx. I think I read an article the other day that's saying that by 2045. The Rio Grande Valley population will double. So by then, it'll be 2.4 million people. Like, isn't that awesome?
I mean, I love it. Yeah. I love it. Like I said, when we started talking, man, this is a good place to do what we do, commercial real estate, right? And there's plenty of it. Yeah. You know, we get our guys in from, the East Coast, and these are guys with, Coldwell Banker, commercial, corporate, or whatever. And they're in awe. You know, I'm driving them around. I'll drive them from Rio Grande City to Brownsville.
Yeah.
If I have the time. And they're just in awe with how much land there is.
Yeah.
Right? That's a Texas thing, but, I mean, there's no stopping the growth, man.
Yeah, no.
We're not going to run out of space.
Yeah, definitely not, man. Can you kind of touch on that, though? Because the Rio Grande Valley is so wide, right? Yeah. And compared to, like, other cities where we got 1.2 million people and then we got 1.4 million people coming back and forth from Mexico. Like, compared to other big cities and metropolises, like, that's quite significant. Can you kind of touch on it?
Yeah, I mean, it used to take an hour 15, an hour 30 to get from here to Brownsville, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. I mean, that's my experience. I can get to Brownsville in 50 minutes now, yeah. man. So that highway infrastructure we were talking about, it's big. But the Valley, you're right, it's big, it's wide, it's sprawling, right? And so there's land everywhere. There's a lot of room for growth. That's a big part. I mentioned earlier, it's unique geographically. We've got awesome ranch land, mm-hmm. right? We've got the coast. South Padre Island is incredible. Yeah. That growth is all, I mean, that's a whole, we could do an hour on that.
Oh yeah.
That second causeway, they're saying is coming in.
Yeah, it's coming in.
They're saying it is. Right? I mean, they said that before, but no, I think it's time.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so again, there's really no, the Valley, you know, cities keep annexing land and stuff. It's pretty cool.
So you sitting with all your experience in the back end, what trends do you see coming up, or what predictions can you predict that are going to be coming within the next year?
Don't ask me for predictions.
Within the next 5 years. I mean, it could be wrong. It could be right. But I mean, what do you think is coming in within the next year, within the next 5 years, and then 10 years?
Yeah. I mean, look, the growth, I think, will continue. Moderately. Like I said, the country right now, if you look at the country as a whole, commercial real estate numbers and statistics are negative, in the negative, right? I mean, sales volumes are down, transaction volumes down on a national platform. Mm-hmm. Here regionally, it's pretty stable. I mean, we're step for step with last year, with 2022, right?
Yeah.
For 2023. And so, I think the growth will continue. I think that, this is not investment advice.
For sure.
But, I think it'll continue. But guys like me will, and guys like you, we just need to keep doing what we're doing and, just be patient with the markets.
I mean, that's really all you can do, right? Because if you're jumping into this expecting something next week, like, yeah.
That's not how this works. Yeah. That's right. Patience is, I always preach patience to our customers and our clients, and it goes a long way, but I mean, man, the Valley's a special place. We just need to hang around.
When you have these conversations with like these people from out of town, from like say Manhattan and stuff like that, like what do these conversations sound like? Like, what are you all talking about specifically?
Usually they're assets that they have in the region, right? And so they'll be single asset owners or multiple asset owners. And sometimes we're talking about leasing. Sometimes we're talking about an acquisition. Sometimes we're talking about property management. It depends.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's no doubt, you asked about this earlier, there's no doubt that we are doing business with people from all over the country now.
Yeah, it's interesting to see because the eyes are on the Rio Grande Valley.
For sure, man.
And they've been like that for a while.
For sure.
And eventually it's just going to get gobbled up by a lot of people.
Yeah.
Man, what happens to the people here?
That's where we're at, man. I mean, there's people from everywhere. And there's institutional money coming in now. And I mean, it's so us Valley guys got to stick together.
Yeah,
I mean,
for
that's
sure.
A big part of it, man.
Yeah,
it's a
absolutely.
Big part of it.
So... when we talk about these outside guys, let's talk about community involvement. Like, how can the community be, I guess, first responders to these things? Like, how do they get the first bites of this whole thing that's coming up?
I mean, you know, I think you've got to take what you've got, right? Most people that are here already have been a part of the Rio Grande Valley or have lived here for some time, and so... stay true to the roots, man. You know, that's it.
Yeah.
You know, shop local, as they say,
right?
Yeah. But, I mean, like I said, the cat's out of the bag.
Yeah.
You know, the cat's out of the bag. The Valley is a special place. It'll continue to grow. Our real estate prices are still relatively moderate when you look at the state and the country, right? But you know, everybody's waiting for that next housing crash, and I don't think that's going to happen.
No, you don't think so?
No. Interesting. Not like 2008.
Right, yeah.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
But I've been wrong before.
Yeah. It's an interesting thing to watch and to follow because, like, as far as, like, when I go into Bitcoin and the investments, like, I'm watching the market all the time.
For
and
sure.
It's a very interesting thing to see how all these, even world economics, like, they
it's all a factor.
Yeah, it's all a factor. So can you kind of touch on that because... I don't think like people really understand when they were getting into the real estate game or the investing game period, like what are the factors that they should be following? What are the factors they should be looking into?
Yeah, I mean, we're just like you're watching, you know, Bitcoin prices or whatever the data is that you're looking at. We're looking at data too, man. We're looking at rental rates. We're looking at interest rates, land prices per square foot. We're looking at construction costs. We're looking at insurance costs.
Are you looking at that compared to everywhere else and the Rio Grande? Like,
well, we're looking at we have to look at the costs because all that functions into how much money you're going to make on a real estate investment, right? Because a real estate investment is going to have what we call operating expenses, mm-hmm. right? Taxes, insurance, depending on the asset type, right? Is it an office building or is it a piece of dirt? Determines maintenance, holding costs. Do I got to cut the grass? I got to... you know, sprinklers, you know, things like that, right? And so it varies by asset class, but I mean, I think that, anyway, I lost my train.
So let's stay on that because that's interesting because from the real estate investing where I wanted to go into to the Bitcoin, like the Bitcoin I see as an asset, right?
Mm-hmm.
Bitcoin doesn't have any of that stuff.
Right.
So kind of touch on that because I'm digging in more and more and more. I was like, all right, it makes more sense. I mean, obviously it's a brand new asset, but I'm trying to do my due diligence because I did lose $27,000.
So well, yeah, I mean, I think it's a risk thing, man.
Yeah.
And so how much risk are you willing to take on, right?
Yeah.
With real estate, there's a physical asset that, you know, is relatively stable, right? Bitcoin, a lot of ups and downs,
for
right?
Sure.
I was talking about me not having the stomach for it.
Yeah.
A lot of ups and downs, a lot of volatility. Real estate's not like that, and so it's a little bit more low risk. Not all of it,
yeah.
right? Everything's got risk associated with it, but I think that it's a function of that.
Okay.
You know, like I said, I don't have the stomach
for
crypto investing. I like real estate.
Yeah, but I think it's just because you've been in it for so long.
No doubt.
Know
I'm definitely
so
biased,
well.
Man.
Yeah.
I'm definitely biased.
Yeah, so kind of touch on that again because talk about the associated cost of that because I don't think people really understand like when you're going to jump into say, like a real estate investment.
Sure, yeah,
like,
yeah.
Kind of talk about...
It really does vary by asset class, man. And so...
So what kind of asset classes are
there? Let's take an office building, right? Okay. I own an office building. It's got six tenants and they're paying rent every month, right? A pretty typical income producing piece of real estate, right? You pay the taxes and the insurance. That's where you start. But you've got to maintain that property, right? There's going to be common areas, which are spaces shared by the tenants, right? Parking areas, landscaping, hall, things like that. And so that has to be maintained. that's a landlord responsibility typically, right? So there's common area maintenance expenses, things like that. You're paying utility bills for the common areas. Sometimes people pay property managers. And so, yeah, there's expenses associated with income-producing real estate. Yeah. If you want to dumb it down, a piece of dirt. Hey, man, I'm buying a piece of real estate. I'm going to hold it for 5 years and let it increase in value. You got to pay the taxes on that. You got to maintain it. If it's 5 acres, you got to mow the 5 acres. You got to, you know, things like that.
Yeah, okay, I get you now. Okay. As far as a renter's economy, I was hearing something the other day that within the next, like, 30, 40 years that we'll just – we'll just rent everything and never own anything.
I mean, it's good to, you know, I don't know if it's everything, but there's a big renter's economy right now, yeah. Man. I mean, you see it with all the apartment projects going up and I mean, it's not a bad thing. You know, rental homes are also a big part of the real estate investment world, mm-hmm. right? Believe it or not, that's how most people get started. Hey, I want to buy a rental home, rent it out. That one's paid off. Let's buy another one. You know, and that's actually a really good way to start in real estate investment.
Yeah. So say I have my home is ready to go up for renting. How do I go through that process?
To get your home rented?
Yeah.
Hire a real estate company.
That's it.
That's it. Yeah. Oh. I mean, a lot of people will try to rent or sell their homes themselves. Mm-hmm. I don't think a lot of people realize the value that a real estate agent.
So kind of touching that, because I don't think people really understand it. It's like, why can't I just go onto Facebook and rent it myself? Like,
yeah, I mean, and technically you can.
Yeah.
And give it a go. If it doesn't work out, you know, call a real estate company. But there are services and value that a real estate professional bring mm-hmm. To a situation like that, right? Starting from the marketing process, right? A company like mine has professional marketing platforms, technology, imagery, things like that. And then... it takes relationships, it takes bandwidth, it takes reach to market real estate effectively, right? Yeah. And so that's something that not everybody has.
Right.
Sure, throwing it on Facebook is great, and actually that's a part of our marketing platform,
yeah.
But it's one step out of 12,
right?
And so take it a step further. Okay, well, we've got a deal now. A real estate professional is going to help you with negotiations, with contract work, with inspections, with dealing with a buyer.
Which the average person has no.
You need somebody to look after your interests. Representation. That's what I tell everybody. You need somebody on your side.
Yeah, yeah. No, you're absolutely right, because I found the value in, for example, like for a trainer. Go as simple as that. Like, for a trainer, I can't hold myself responsible. Like, I need somebody to say, hey, do this.
How I am with my fitness. I need somebody to be like, jump that way. Like, you know, that's just how I am.
Yeah, because those are things that you just don't want to think about. Like,
I think it's the same thing in
the real estate world. It's like, you need somebody to guide you along
and
help
you. Yeah.
And I think keep you accountable, too, because of the accountability aspect of everything is like, how are you going to do something for so long if you can't stay accountable? You hire someone.
I don't do my own taxes.
Yeah.
You know, I don't put together my own fitness plan. You're right. I seek help from a professional.
Yeah.
That's my, like, I would come to somebody like you for marketing or whatever. Right. I mean,
yep. So let's talk about the apartments again, because I see these pop up everywhere.
Yeah.
And I know a buddy of mine out in Westaco that was is a property manager and he does quite a few property management sites. And, kind of touch on that, because I've seen these pop up everywhere. Like on Ware Road, I saw another one pop up, and then over here in McAllen somewhere, I saw another one. I was like, what is that signal? Because is that just the young demographic of the Rio Grande Valley?
I think that's a part of it. Yeah, I think it's our growing population, right? People who are coming in on contract work or whatever.
There's a mic up a little closer.
There's a lot of demand for you know, short-term living, right? I think that's one of the desirable components of apartment living.
Is that because people just don't want to be committed to one piece of land?
That could be it. They're waiting for the economy to change before they buy a home, or they're here on contract work.
Okay.
You know, hey, you know, a medical group brings them in and, you know, hey, you're going to work here on contract for 2 years or whatever. They don't want to commit to a home. Things like that.
Yeah.
But what we're seeing a lot of right now is so you see these big projects, 100, 200, 300 units coming out of the ground all over the place, right? That's different. Historically, our region hasn't seen a lot of that.
Mm-hmm.
We were used to the fourplex model, you know, duplexes.
That was relatively new too, right?
Well, so we saw a lot of that in 05, 06, 07, 08, right? And then it kind of chilled out a little bit. And then we started seeing these big projects. Those are coming out of the dirt. What we're seeing now is a lot of subdivision development for duplex, threeplex, fourplexes, mm-hmm. And it's lots, right? And so you're seeing the lots being developed, and then you're seeing the fourplexes developed independently in some cases, but there is a ton of multifamily development going on.
Yeah.
It's a big part of our economy right now. It's a good sign. I mean, I think it's you touch on renter's economy.
Can you kind of touch on the single housing again? I heard that at one point that the housing, single houses were a really good investment, but they're going to slowly start not becoming a good investment.
You're talking about like single-family homes?
Single-family homes, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, I mean, it was nonstop for a few years.
Yeah.
Subdivision after subdivision and, you know, just homes popping up out of the ground like crazy, right? And that's when, I mean, it was a free-for-all, man. It was a free-for-all. People building homes, super expensive. We'll see how that goes. But, you know, that's cooled off a little bit.
Okay.
Builders are not buying the way they were. Subdivisions have slowed down. There's still a lot in the process. I don't think they all make it to the finish line, mm-hmm. just because I think that's going to start cooling.
Yeah.
It'll keep cooling. It already has kind of slowed down a little bit.
So if a home builder wanted to position themselves to be able to last that, what advice would you say?
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
I don't know. I've never done business. I've never dabbled in residential.
In
I've never dabbled in residential single family development. And so I don't want to.
Yeah,
I don't know what I would tell them, man.
I got you, man. Yeah. So let's go back to the commercial then. Like, what is the most profitable commercial, assets?
I mean, if you're looking at margins, you know, I like net lease development, man. And that's a pretty specialized sector of the.
Can you explain it?
Yeah, so net lease real estate development. You've got typically it's single tenant focused, right? And so it's ground lease or built to suit development, right?
Okay.
And typically there is a tenant in tow, some sort of retail organization, company, franchise concept, something like that. And you're effectively catering to their needs. You're going to develop a pad site for them or develop a building for them. We call that built to suit, right? And I mean, it's without getting too much into it, it's probably where your margins are the best.
The best.
They can be, at least if it's done right. But look, there is a lot of sectors of the real estate market or the real estate industry that are profitable. Mm-hmm. I mean, they all are, honestly, if they're done right.
Correct.
If they're done right, you make money doing whatever sector. If you like medical, industrial, you want to build apartments, you can still make money doing it.
Yeah.
You just have to do it right.
I got you. So when these are built to suit or built to lease, whatever, when they're looking for these people that are going to come into this to be a tenant, what are they providing, like the information? Are they talking about like the population?
Yeah, so that's what we do. So we do corporate real estate and site selection, right? So we work with brands like Dunkin', mm-hmm. Like Circle K, Tractor Supply.
What are they looking for?
Yeah, so I mean, they want data. Why should I open another store? And sometimes they have a need because they're already in the market, mm-hmm. and so they see the demand already. Mm-hmm. And so, hey man, my store in Weslaco, they're blowing the roof off the place with sales. I need another one. That type of a deal.
I got
right?
you.
But new concepts to the market are looking for data. They're looking for sales of other retailers. They're looking for population data. They're looking for income data, traffic data. All that stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a science, man.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And that's what's interesting about what you do, man, because you have so much data on your back end.
Well, and we have the best technology. We use AI in our industry all day. And I would invite you over to the office, man. Come check it out. It's called Placer AI. And so we're using cell phone tracking data to analyze real estate and projects. I mean, it's incredible. You got to come by.
Yeah, I will, man, because I'm super fascinated with AI. I've been using it since I got a hold of ChatGPT in January.
Yeah.
I've used it for 2 to 3 hours a day, man. And it's interesting because at one point, I'm always looking for mentors, somebody to teach me something, and I couldn't find anybody, man. It's like nobody has time or nobody has the patience. And then I'm over here trying to learn as much as possible.
Yeah, sure.
So I want to soak up as much of their time as possible, right? So I was like, shit, with ChatGPT, I just literally cloned them, and then I have them teach me specifically through ChatGPT.
That's crazy, man.
It's the most interesting thing, man.
We use it a lot for our marketing. Yeah. And, you know, that's why I sent my two girls to your class the other day. I mean, it was good stuff. They were really pumped up about it. And, I mean, we use ChatGPT a lot.
Yeah.
Right? It took a little bit of, there was a little bit of a learning curve for us, but we use it a lot in our marketing. But the way we use it for our research and stuff, I mean, it's literally helped us make deals on the spot.
So touch on that, because that's why I use it the most. I use it as a research assistant. I'm researching. It's completely different than Google.
Yep.
Your research, this is your research assistant that is literally
on demand.
Expert. Yes.
In the car. I mean, sitting in the wall. So yeah, I'll give you an example. We use this cell phone tracking data to track visits, right? And so this Walmart is getting 5 million visitors a year. Mm-hmm. So there's 5 million people going through the doors of that Walmart every year. That Bank of America is the second most visited Bank of America in the country.
Wow.
Right? And so using that intelligence, we can evaluate a piece of real estate. And so I have clients who say, man, when a Walmart has more than 4 million visits and we're across the street, we crush it.
Wow.
It makes sense?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so absolutely, we're using that data and that intel to make decisions.
Wow.
And so it's pretty cool stuff.
In the other industries that you're in, are other people using AI?
I hope not. I mean, the cat's out of the bag now, right? I mean, giving away trade secrets. No, I mean, it's available to most people, but honestly, it's pretty expensive stuff.
Yeah.
And we're lucky to have corporate backup, and so they give us a lot of good tech.
Yeah.
In addition to AI, I mean, our research technology and stuff is second to none.
Yeah. Let's talk about social media now. You said you all use it as part of your marketing.
Yeah.
Kind of touch on how you all use it for your marketing.
You know, I mean, we're putting everything from property availabilities out there to announcing sold deal or closed deals, right? We sign a deal with one of our guys like Seven Brew. Mm-hmm. We'll put it on, hey, Seven Brew coming soon, you know, that type of a thing.
Yeah, yeah.
We put market data out there, and so a little bit of everything. But we're actively working to kind of fine-tune and hone all that.
Yeah.
That's why I sent my girls to your...
Yeah, I think it's one of the most interesting things, man, because I've been talking about this. I think I even talked to you about it back when we were in the Axe Retreats. I think I remember talking about some social media at that point.
Shit, man.
And that was a long-ass time ago.
Long fucking time.
I've been doing that since then, dude, and you're slowly starting to see people getting use on it the, more.
Yeah,
right?
Man. But I was behind... I dropped the ball for a long time with social media. I neglected it, didn't use it at all. And then took the plunge, hired a full-time professional for social media, man.
Yeah.
And they do a little bit more in social media, but it's a full-time gig because we've got two companies and then we've got three platforms per company.
Yeah.
So they're doing 6 accounts, right? Yeah. I mean, it's a lot.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think people really understand that social media is a whole nother job.
It's a full-time gig, man, for sure. Yeah.
And the crazy part about it too is I'm in it all the time. So I see if you go on to Facebook right now or Instagram, you see the ads. Most of them aren't from the Rio Grande Valley. You'll see every few now and then. That just shows you that nobody's really using it effectively.
Like Think about that.
Well,
and you know, I agree. I think there's a lot of meat left on the bone there, right? Yeah. A lot of learning to do and a lot of upside, I guess is what I'll call it.
I would liken it to the fact that it's a hidden gem. Like
sure,
the same thing, like how people are starting to see the Rio Grande Valley here and they're starting to come in. Like eventually you're going to start seeing the prices of ads start to go up. And it's relatively cheap.
You know, I wasn't familiar with all that shit, man. Yeah. The buying ads and I didn't even know you could do it.
Yeah.
And so our marketing and social media professionals can, hey, you know, can we spend some money on this shit?
Yeah.
And sure, what $10? And they're like, dude, no. We're like, what the fuck, $10?
Yeah.
But so now we're investing in it and spending some money. And I mean, the goal for us with social media is we want to be, I'm not trying to lease, it's a part of it, but you know, I don't realistically expect to put a shopping center deal on social media and find a buyer.
Yeah.
Right? People don't buy $5 million pieces of real estate by shopping on social media.
You'd be surprised.
Well, and you know what? You're right. Because I do have some pretty good social media real estate success stories.
Yeah. Kind of touch on those. All right, fair enough. I love hearing these.
I've got an agent who's real big on social media and posted a ranch that he was selling on Instagram, $1 million ranch. Yeah. And a buyer hit him up on Instagram.
Yeah.
And he sold it. Yeah. $1 million ranch.
Crazy, huh?
Yeah.
Crazy. It's insane that the reach and the power that social media has. Because I always talk about this too. Like, if you have beautiful content marketing, like for example,
it's got to look nice, right?
Yeah. Let's just keep that, right? You have a beautiful home that you have pictures of, right? Or a beautiful property. But if 10 or 100 people are seeing it, it doesn't really matter. Like, you need the ads behind it to reach the multiples of thousands.
Yeah.
That way, at that point, it's like a big, huge funnel. It's your awareness, and you get down to engagement. It just goes down.
Yeah.
But I think that kind of shows you where we're at with social media. Is like, at one point, it wasn't pay to play. Now it's pay to play. Like, it's a crazy thing to see and witness. Like, I lived through it.
I'm still learning, man. Yeah. There's a lot to it. I mean, there's platforms that I don't even know, like, you know, that we haven't tapped into, right? Yeah. Google is one that we're working on, getting better at. But there's others.
Well, I'll tell you this.
Like, right, we're not now on Twitter. Yeah. Should I be on Twitter?
I'll tell you this. your customers, if you're selling in the Rio Grande Valley, they're on Facebook and Instagram.
That's it.
Period.
All right.
Period. And the great thing about that is if you're advertising on Facebook and Instagram, it's one platform. So you don't have to go and spend more money on Twitter.
All right.
You don't have to go spend more money on LinkedIn.
You don't have to go spend
more money on Google. And one of the craziest parts is if you use Google My Business, it's the exact same thing as Facebook. You're posting your pictures, you're putting your description.
Yeah.
But it works better because you can directly call an agent.
I think we have that. I mean, we get people like, I mean, I was looking at some data, how people Google us and how people are searching for us. And it's kind of, I was like, people Google for us? Like, I mean, that's just, I don't know, man.
And imagine if you had every single day you posted something on Google My Business. Like, that's the power of it. So if you just post more than you're doing now, you'll automatically have better results.
Right.
Like, it's just that little extra part. But going back to the Facebook and Instagram, is like, if your customers are here in the Rio Grande Valley, they're on Facebook and Instagram.
Yeah.
And you can sell to them. Like, I've proven this over and over.
Yeah.
It's relatively cheap to reach the entire Rio Grande Valley compared to other avenues like
radio and TV and stuff like that.
Like, it's relatively inexpensive. I find that fascinating because you can literally reach the whole Rio Grande Valley.
Yeah.
Anybody that has a phone, boom, you're on there. Facebook, it's crazy.
Yeah, man. That's again, we're learning every day, wanting to do more on social media and stuff. And shit, maybe that's a conversation we have.
Open up your money to go to Facebook and Instagram advertising.
Well, we worked in some social media stuff into our budget this year.
But do more.
All right.
Because I guarantee you the person that spends the most to acquire the customer is going to. And the crazy part, too, is you just stay in front of their face all the time.
Yeah.
And then
that's the idea, man, is just to stay in front of them with good content, like we were talking about. It's got to be good stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, yeah, we don't put everything we do on social media.
Yeah, definitely not.
You can't.
Yeah.
That's not to say, you know, it doesn't. Social media, we're relatively selective with what we're putting out there for the audience to see. And
touching on that, I don't think people really understand, especially if you're a business, like the digitization of the Rio Grande Valley business sector is going to start coming online. Like, you think about that, like 10 to 12 million businesses close every year, right? The amount of businesses in the Rio Grande Valley keep growing and growing. Some of them fall off. Some of them go out of business. Yeah. Some of them last, right? But you're going to start seeing the digitization of the Rio Grande Valley business, specifically because the internet providers are going to start carrying better providers.
Like,
they're going to start better productivity, better interconnectivity. All that's going to be coming.
Yeah.
So the digitization of the business storefront is going to start coming in 2024, 2025. And you're going to start seeing that, like a brick and mortar business, your online digital, your digital, I guess your preferences, whatever, your site online has to mimic your brick and mortar. And I don't think people really understand it, because they're like, well, just make me a website, just make me social media. Well, that's a huge reflection of you
online. No doubt. And again, something we neglected for a long time, our company websites. You know, we're relaunching our residential website right now. It's actually under construction just because we want to keep up, right? Yeah. It's important to keep our websites fresh. And so for sure, that's always on our radar, man.
Yeah, I find it interesting because you think about that, like it takes one person to give a bad review. Like
for sure.
It's like
for
a customer complaining in store, but if they complain to you in store, it's like you and me, like having that conversation.
Well,
but
people,
if it's online,
people can blow you up online, man. I mean, they can blow you up if they want.
Yeah, and so that's why I'm super selective. Same as
for
you.
Sure,
like what we put online is very interesting because it's perceived differently by everybody. It's
and everybody's got an opinion.
Everybody's
got an opinion.
Sure, man. So let's keep on touching about the Rio Grande Valley market, man, because I'm super fascinated. So if I was an investor here in the Rio Grande Valley, I got some money that I want to put into commercial lots. What would be the first step?
To invest in some sort of commercial real estate?
Yeah, commercial real estate.
So it's largely dependent on how much you're looking to invest, right? But generally speaking, you need to determine if you're looking to invest just cash or if you want to leverage that cash, right? Meaning go borrow some more money to up the size of your investment, right? And so, you know, I hate to potentially turn people off, but I always say that you need almost $1 million to start investing in commercial real estate, right? And so it deters a lot of people, right? I would say I'm going to pivot and kind of, if somebody was going to invest in real estate, generally speaking, I touched on this, Matt. I love the idea of single family rentals, right? And you build a small portfolio of those. It's simple, it's low maintenance, and it's a good way for people to start.
Okay.
Probably, you know, from a guy who's special, I like commercial real estate, man. That's what I do. That's I own residential real estate, and that's how I started my investments. And it's like I said, it's low maintenance. It's very low responsibility. There's not a lot of headaches. Right. Look at it this way: you'll buy a fourplex. Mm-hmm. You got four tenants, four HVAC units, four refrigerators, four everything.
Yeah.
You buy a single family home. You got one tenant. You got one roof. You got, you follow me?
Yeah, yeah.
And so I mean, just that alone, and the returns are going to be almost the same.
Interesting. Wow. What are some of the pitfalls that somebody would go through for if they start investing in this?
Yeah, overreaching, man, for sure. Okay. Don't bite off more than you can chew, right? Yeah. And that's why I we're talking about, you know, if you're going to invest cash, or you're going to go borrow some money. If you're going to borrow money, go talk to a bank. How much can you borrow? Do you want to spend that much, right? I mean, you got to be careful. Yeah. But a lot of people overreach. And so you want to be conservative, right? It's good to swing for the fences, and it's good to take risks, calculated risks, right?
Sure.
And so, just be careful not to overreach.
Yeah. Are there a lot of overreachers?
You know, we'll see. We'll see, right? I mean, we're starting to see some foreclosures come into the market, which usually means there's more to follow, right? Yeah. But we'll see. If people overreached, you'll start to see it.
Yeah. Oh, it's interesting, man. Before we finish off the podcast, kind of give me, with all your accumulated knowledge, all your experience, what is the best advice that you can give for the Rio Grande Valley going forward as far as from the commercial side?
Work together, for sure. Work together. Brownsville needs to work with McAllen. Edinburgh needs to work with Weslaco. We have to work together. We have to have the mentality of one region versus being competitive and competing with each other as municipalities. Right?
Is that how it is right now?
No. It's actually, we've come a long, long way. Right now, there's organizations in place that do a lot for our region to that effect, making sure that people are working together and collaboratively, right? Mm-hmm. Candidly, when I started in 07, I mean, it wasn't like that. You know, it was definitely competitive. Everybody wanted that big deal, right?
Yeah.
And so when you compete against each other, I think it's a little bit counterproductive, right? Yeah. And so, no, we've come a long way, and the region's going in the right direction, but we've got to work together.
Yeah. Yeah. The Rio Grande Valley is growing.
It's awesome, man. Growing, yeah, man. It's pretty kick-ass to be a part of. You know, God willing, it's not going to slow down for us. And, man, I say this all the time, there's enough for everybody.
Yeah, there really is, man. I used to think that, like, everybody's my competition, but really, like...
You can't, man.
Yeah, if you're good and you're good in the marketplace, you're just going to stand up. Like, that's just how it is.
You know, we've built such an incredible team here at Coldwell Banker that that's really what allows us to be successful, man. It's very much a collaborative effort. Even, you know, we have a healthy competitive drive, right? Yeah. I mean, you want that,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, you need competitive.
We have a healthy competitive drive, but, you know, internally, I mean, everybody's successful, everybody works hard, everybody's happy, right? Yeah. So, yeah, it's a lot of fun, man. Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
I can imagine working on a good team that's...
I told you earlier, come by, hang out, absolutely, have a coffee, man. Or that's whatever, sure, you want, man.
Absolutely. Yeah. So let everybody know where they can find you, man.
So our office is in McAllen. We're at 508 East Dove Avenue, just off the McCall and Dove intersection, right across from Renaissance Hospital. They can check our websites at cbcriograndevalley.com. And then our residential website for now is coldwellbanker.com, but our new site is under construction, and that's going to be cblamansion.com.
Awesome, man. Hey, well, I appreciate your time. I appreciate the insight.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It was a lot of fun. We'll do it again.
All right, guys. We will see you next time. Peace.